And now, brethren, for the sermonette message, we'll hear from one of our deacons here and good friend, Mr. Larry Hardison.
He didn't know I was going to do this. I'm going to use you. How would you describe how you dressed today without words? Thank you. I had to have a volunteer, so I made one. The only way we could do that, of course, is through pictures or pantomime or some form of gestures. Language is designed for communication. Anything else would be very limited. You've all seen pictures of hieroglyphs, you know, where they take up a whole wall, probably just a little note say, hey, I've gone shopping, I'll be back in 5 minutes. And, you know, it's a half a wall long. Words are very important. Some of them, of course, in our society carry a cultural baggage with them. In our particular religious culture here amongst us, in the churches of God, unlike other religions around the world, we seldom hear some words. We seldom use some terms. A term such as ritual. What is a ritual? It's an act according to religious law or culture, or even ceremony. Now, a ceremony is a formal act, such as marriage. It's one that we do use. Sacrament. Sacrament is a religious rite or a ceremony. It's not something that we use in our regular language. Here's a good one for you. Ablution. What is it? It's a ceremonial washing or cleansing. Another one that we do use frequently is called custom. It's a usage or a practice common to many or repeated practice. What we're going to talk about today began many, many hundreds and thousands of years ago. In Genesis 18, we read where the three angels came to Abram's tent, on their way to Sodom to see if the report that has risen to God was true. What did Abram do? He said, please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet. This is a custom, and this is the first instance of it. When the angels came to Lot at Sodom, what did Lot do? Well, he invited him in, and he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. He didn't say take a bath. He said, wash your feet. Unlike today, people walked barefoot or with open sandals. The feet became dirty or defiled, because you never know what is in the pathway that you're walking on. Thus, the custom of foot washing began. The Interpreter's Bible Dictionary says, a hospitable amenity in Palestine extended to guests upon arrival at the home of their host. This is, of course, about foot washing. It was usually performed by a servant or by the wife of the host while the guests were reclining at table. They didn't have tables and chairs like we do. They often, if you'll remember your ancient history, like in Rome, would lay down and eat on a couch or something like that. We look in Luke 7 in verse 44, we see where this one woman was washing Jesus' feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair. And, of course, she was condemned by the Pharisee that had invited Jesus to dinner. But he, in turn, said, look, Simon, I came into your house. You offered me no water for my feet. so that I could wash my feet. Here this woman, all through dinner, has been washing my feet with her tears. One of our annual customs, or if you want to call it a ritual, at the Passover time is foot washing. Now, we call it foot washing. Actually, it's feet washing. We wash both feet, not just one. But give that as it is. It's something that we do year in and year out. It's a custom or a ritual of the churches of God. Some other churches do it as well. But this is something that has been, since I've been in the church, which has been over 30 years, and many of you as well. We keep it and we exercise it year in and year out. However, the foot washing we do isn't just as a courtesy to guests, like Abraham did and Lot did and so forth. No, it is more than that. The precedent and the purpose was set by our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. If you would, turn over to John 13, or you can look on the front of your bulletin as far as that goes. We kind of set it up that way. But in John 13, let's look in verses 5 and 6. The section I'm referring to is verses 1 through 17, but I can't take the time to read all of it. But verses 5 through 6 says, "After that," after dinner, "he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And, of course, Jesus replied, 'Well, you don't know what I'm doing.'" But Jesus set the precedent. He set the example that we should do that. Let's look on in verses 12 through 16 of this same section. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord," or your boss, your superior, your master, "if you call me teacher and Lord and you say, well, for so I am, then if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." So Jesus set this precedent, set this example for us. This example of humility and meekness, because here he was, the master of these 12 men, the teacher of these 12 men, and dozens more to boot. He set this example of humility and meekness, and it carries on through the New Testament. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 2. This doesn't specifically say anything about foot washing, but it gives the example of humility and meekness. Because Paul is writing here, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Also, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5 that a widow could be taken into the care of the church if she were a true widow. One of those qualifications of a widow was that she washed the saints' feet, that she was humble enough and meek enough to wash the saints' feet, or exercising hospitality. The strong key or purpose in Ephesians is explained in verse 3, just below where we were reading. Paul continues, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." note the word bond of peace. Now, many of you have been in the church for years and years, decades, and you probably have examples similar to the one I'm going to relate. In another church area, another time, in another place, there was an older gentleman and I, and we were both very strong-willed. And frequently, we would kind of go clash head-to-head. You know, I'm from Missouri, you know what Missourians are, Mrs. Luker does, mules. There's also other terms for mules, but we won't get into those. Anyway, he and I had gotten into a situation where it was almost kind of like an antagonism, but, you know, we were brothers and we had to work together. Well, come Passover one year, he and I ended up washing each other's feet. Now, you may have had a similar example or experience. Anyway, we ended up washing each other's feet. That changed both of our attitudes. Both of our attitudes toward each other. From that point on, we were buddies. We were friends. We had that bond of peace that Paul here is explaining. So you may have had a similar example. You see, humility is nothing else but a right judgment of ourselves. There is nothing more scandalous than a man who is proud of his humility. Marcus Aurelius said that. This simple and very profound ritual or custom in the Church of God of foot washing can and does bring about the bond of peace. It is a fruit of you have to take your shoes off, your socks off in this day and age. You have to put yourself at the disposal of someone for them to wash your feet. It is a fruit of intimate, humble service. Jesus said, let's go back to John 13. Let's go back to John 13. I cheated. I have a marker here. John 13, verse 17. Jesus Christ says of this whole procedure of foot washing, if you know these things, and you do, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Other translations say, happy are you if you do them. If you don't want to be blessed, don't do them. If you don't want to be happy, don't do them. But I think most of us want to be blessed. Most of us want to be happy. Most of us want to follow the example of our Lord and Savior when he put aside himself and took on the form of a servant to wash the disciples' feet. By exercising this custom, this time-honored ritual that started actually well before Christ walked the earth, we will be happy and we will develop a bond of peace amongst ourselves. And you don't know whose feet you will wash. You may have something that you need to get straight between you and someone else. Foot washing will do that. I've experienced it, and so have many of you. So foot washing will develop this bond of peace between ourselves, our brothers, and our sisters. A bond that lasts not only for now, but next year and into the future.